Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend. This morning, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. The book of Matthew, chapter 4. And this week, as I began to read this and study this and really meditate in my heart what this meant to me, these two verses in Matthew popped out at me. And I thought, how many times has God said something to us and we actually give Him an immediate response? How many times has God said something to us and we actually do what He said to do right then and right there? Verse 21 and 22 is where we're going to focus at. Verse 21 and 22. And it's something that I think we've read so many times. We're all familiar with this chapter and these passages where Jesus calls His first disciples. But I think we miss something. A lot of times when we read this, we become into the history of it, if you will. We become into the outlining of what Jesus says more than what happens. Verse 21, it says, "And going on from thence, He saw other two brethren, James and the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and He called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed Him." The key word there being immediately is something I think we've missed. When Jesus calls us to follow Him, He's calling us for immediate response. He's not calling for a baffled ramble of excuses. We can all make excuses on why not to do the things that we know to do. I'm going to talk to our teenagers for a minute and our older kids because I want you to understand there are so many times that we say, you know, before I follow Jesus or before I'm truly committed to Jesus, I want to get my education. I want to be able to do the things that I know I need to do. I want to get my career path outlined. I want to do all of these things before I follow Jesus. Before we say all of those things, I want you to realize there is no call to follow Jesus but first with excuses or rambles on why not to follow Jesus. He's looking for an immediate response. He's not looking for us to come up with reasons to delay His call on our life. This Wednesday night, as we begin to study this series, you're going to see a phrase that is mentioned there, DTR. Define the relationship. So many times in our life, that is a conversational piece as we begin. I know as Carrie and I were dating there in the early years, she looked at me one time and she said, "Define our relationship." And I was baffled. I know I'm not the only one that's ever been there. Amen? But Jesus says, I want you to define our relationship because I've called you to follow Me. Are you going to do it now? He's not saying, look, go get everything together first. I want you to follow Me right now. We have often confused following Jesus with a confession. We think because we come and we walk down and we grab the preacher by the hand and we say a prayer and we give him our life or our or give not the preacher, but Jesus our life or our heart, and we make that confession that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except for through Him. We immediately think at that very moment, I now follow Jesus. That is one of the most silliest things that we can think as a Christian. Anybody can say a prayer. Anybody can make a confession to be a Christian. Amen? We can even say, you know what? I'm going to go to church every Sunday. I'm going to be the model of our church. Man, I'm going to be there every time the doors are open. I'm going to serve in the kitchen. I'm going to help with the kids. I'm going to help plan the events, the revivals. I'm going to do all of these things. But the real question out of all of that is, are you really following Jesus? The immediate response that he calls for here comes with an action. It comes with such a tremendous action that they left everything to follow him. Don't you know that it's unique that in our life, that when Jesus puts on our heart to do something and we delay that response, it's disobedience. I think I said this last week, but delayed obedience is disobedience. Amen? He calls for an immediate response. A lot of people go back to the scripture in verse 19, which is not in the outline this morning, but I just want to go ahead and say this. Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishermen of men. Do you not realize that at that moment when he says that, there should have been an immediate response at that moment? At that very moment, there should have been a response. I'm going to get into your heart a little bit this morning because the Lord's got into mine this week. How many times has God said, you know what, I want you to do something for me. I want you to pray for that person at the gas station. I want you to buy that person's groceries. I want you to go out, and I just want you to stand on the corner with a sign that says, Jesus loves you. And we immediately go, I'm not doing that. Or you're walking through Walmart and you see somebody who's struggling. You can see it on their face. You can see it all up and down them that they've got a lot on their plate. Maybe it's somebody in your community. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's a close family member. And you go, I'm not doing that. That's not for me. They've got a pastor. They've got people in their church that are equipped to pray. They've got all these things. You too have been equipped to do the things that I'm talking about if you follow Jesus. It is so easy for social media platforms to follow somebody. Did you know that? You can scroll through social media and you can go, you know what? I like the way they worded that. I'm going to follow them. And you don't even know them. Do you know that our kids in today's society, check this out. This is scary. Our kids in today's society learn how to dress, how to talk, how to act, how to walk, how to do everything from the things that they see from other people. They're constantly watching and learning and molding and growing. And it's up to us to break the mold and say, you know what? I want you to watch me. I want you to see me because I'm going to follow Jesus. And as you look at me, I don't really want you to see just me. I want you to see Jesus in me because I follow Jesus. Not society, not the ways of the world, not the things that the world says are politically correct. The heck with politically correct. We need to be back biblically correct. We've lost a society as a whole, a generation that says, you know what? I don't have to give an immediate response because I've got 30 days to answer that email. I've got 30 days to send in that payment. I got 30 days to do whatever it is. I've got time on my hands. I can do whatever I need to do. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Sunday before last, as I sat back there in that room, I knew that time was short. Statistically and by the book, there's plenty of nurses in here that are going to vouch for what I'm fixing to tell you. When it hit 25, it should have been over. And God said, now. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. Amen? But it was at that very moment that my body needed an immediate response. It was not a response of, hey, everything's going to be okay. Not a response that says, hey, everything that's going on right now is happening for a reason. It was the Holy Spirit that come down and took over at that very moment. The immediate response that we have here is, who are you following? What are you following? Why are you following it? And give me one good reason why you're following it. You know, it's so simple. We flip through TV stations. I don't watch a lot of TV. But this past 2 weeks, I've got bored. And as I would flip and nap, I seen something that bothered me. Did you know that the evangelical Christian community is dwindling down? Did you know that? But did you also know that the satanic ritual community is rising? Witchcraft is promoted in our stores? Do you not realize that? Something's wrong with the picture. Do you know, and you say, well, what does that got to do with me following Christ? Because you are the example that somebody needs to see of what real Christianity is. It's not sitting on the back burner and going, you know what? I'm going to sit here silently and I'm going to pray for those people. God gave us a voice. Everybody say this, I. See, it works. He gave us all a voice to use that voice for His glory. Whether it be just telling somebody, look, I know that things have been really hard for you. I know things have been hammering you. I know everything that could possibly go wrong's been going wrong. But I want you to understand, it is by the grace of God that I can stand before you and share the goodness of God. Well, Tom, I don't have a powerful testimony. I've never really been through anything. If you stop and give me 5 minutes of your time, I guarantee you, I can show you that somewhere in your life you can testify to the goodness of God. And God will put you exactly where you need to be. But it requires you following Him and not your own opinionated beliefs. Ow, that hurt. I know it did. Because that stepped on my toes this week. You know, it's so easy to say, you know, I really believe that this is this and that is that. And there's times in our lives where we can do this and we can do that. And, man, you know, there's just so much time that we have. No, we don't. We don't have a lot of time, ladies and gentlemen. But I can tell you this, what we do have, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this morning I'm going to share something with you. The moment that the Holy Spirit came into your life and took over and you said, Lord, I want You to come in and I want You to dwell in me. You were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Guess what? My Bible says we receive power. 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 We have power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power. But what are you following limits that power? Some would say, no, it doesn't. There's no way you can limit God. There's no way you can limit the power of God. Yes, there is. If you're not saturated and soaked in Jesus, what are you saturated and soaked in? Is it TV? Is it worldly books? Is it the things that we look at and we say, you know what? I don't know what it is, but I want you to understand that it is hindering you from having a closer, deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus. We look at this and it's so simple that it says, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. Now they could have said, you know what? We love you and we'll see you the next time you come by. Thank you so much for sharing with us, Jesus. But our Father needs us. We got to help Him with these nets. He's got a fish. We like to fish, so we're just going to hang out here. It doesn't say that. They immediately left their father and followed Him. And I watched this morning and I got a little tickled as these kids were following one another back and forth. And I'm thinking immediately, How many of us would actually stand up and say, you know what, I don't care if the world says I'm crazy. I don't care if the world says I've lost every bit of common sense that I have, but I'm going to follow Jesus because my word says that I have to give him an immediate response. Not a delayed response. Not a response of, let me get my life together. Let me pay for my house. Let me pay for all these cars. Let me, you know, the world throws problems at you as it is. It throws problems at me as it is. But nowhere in the Word of God does it say, you know what, when it gets tough, just give up. I've never seen that in there. Even Job, he sat down and it even says that people were saying, even his wife, why don't you just curse God and die, dude? Why don't you just give up? If he loved you, you wouldn't be going through these things. If he was really a savior, why in the world are you going through the things that you're going through? But Job kept the faith. And guess what? At the end, he was blessed more than he was when it all started. Because he knew what he had to follow. He knew where his heart had to be. David, a man after God's own heart. An adulterous man. An envious man. A murderous man. A man who come up with 1,001 excuses. But he was a man after God's heart. How is that? Because he knew what repentance was. He knew what his true desire in life was, and it wasn't to have all of these things that the world had to offer, but it was to please God. Do you want a life that'll please God? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. You know, we sit back and we see all of these kids. And we smile week after week. And they come up and they have their children's moment. They hear the word. You know, we give them candy and we send them back to their seat with their mamas and daddies. And this morning as I watched them all go back to those pews, I thought immediately, are we teaching them how to follow Jesus, or are we just teaching them enough to get them through? We're teaching them how to follow Jesus, because here's the thing. You could teach them enough to get them through, which would be this. Don't stick your finger in that light socket. It's going to hurt. Watch both ways when you cross the street, because if a car hits you, it's going to hurt. Don't do that because you're going to get hurt. Don't do that because this is going to happen. Don't do that. We can teach them a whole lot of do not do's. Amen? Mamas, daddies, the most important thing that we can teach our children is simply this: follow Jesus. Simple as that. So simple. The simplistic message of the cross is not only forgiveness and freedom, but it's following Christ. Are we truly following Him, or are we just going through the motions? Are we literally just taking it step by step? Or are we just going through the motions? Are we looking out the window going, you know what? Man, it's nice out there. Probably a little humid by now, amen? But it's nice out. The sun's shining a little bit. It's a little cloudy. But man, it's nice out there. The corn's growing. See, I could tell you all day long what it's like out there. But until you walk out that door or you stand and see it from my perspective, you will never really know what's going on out there. Amen? I can tell you this. Following Jesus comes at a cost. I can't say that enough. You will lose friends. You will lose family. People will not agree with you on things. There's going to be things that happen. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. You're going to find out who sticks closer than a brother when you really, truly follow Jesus. And some of you even now would go, why would I want to go through that? Why would I want to experience that? Well, Brother Tom, I really think that following Jesus means that you got to do this and this. I don't think it really calls for immediate response because you got to go through the motions and da 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 da. The motions is what's got the church in the mess that it's in now. Not a lot of pastors would say that, but I will. Because that's the problem that we have inside the church now. Everybody is going through the motions, and it started from right here at the pulpit of, we can't get out of order. Catch me here. And I'm not talking about, you know, jumping and screaming, shouting, and hollering. I'm talking about people don't want to get out of the order. Because that's the way we've always done it. Thank God that y'all ain't like that. Amen. Whew. Man, well, been in trouble the first week I was here. Hallelujah. But I'm going to share something with you. And I think I've told y'all this before. Did I ever tell y'all about the conference I went to? I was preaching that night. It was a men's conference. And we walk in that midday service. And there's two young men at the back of the church holding bulletins. Stack of bulletins. Holy Spirit stoppers. And I was like, what did he just say? Carrie's like, I could have sworn he just said Holy Spirit stoppers. I was like, what? Holy Spirit stoppers, anyone? Anybody need one of these Holy Spirit stoppers? And I was like, immediately in the back of my head thinking, they got the wrong guys to hand out bulletins. Then I met Waylon, and I was like, he would be the one going, we're not going by this. Do you want one? But it's that immediate response, that immediate call that he says, I want you to do something for me outside of the norm. I want you to take that time that you have and that moment that you have, and I simply want you to look at it, because in detail of how things should go, amen, how it should go, how it should be, what it should look like. And get rid of that idea, because that's not how it's going to go and that's not how it's going to look like. Amen? Following Jesus is going to cost you a lot. It's going to make you uncomfortable. Some of you say, I know, I'm already there. I hope all of you do, but I want you to understand what I'm telling you, that quit making excuses, because the time is now. There has to be a response now. We can't wait. The understanding of following Jesus doesn't come from a outlined confession. I had a pastor that I became good friends with, and he's gone to home be with the Lord now, Brother Jerry Legg. And he was an older gentleman, and I was sitting at his house one day, and he told me, he said, Brother Tom, I want you to understand, little brother. He always said Brother Tom and little brother. That's what he always called me. And he said, I want you to understand right now, little brother, that when we lead people to the Lord, that they're just repeating a polyparrot prayer. I was so confused at that moment when he said that. He said, when we, you know, say, look, repeat this after me. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Amen. And we've all heard that prayer so many times. We see it at revivals. We see it at conferences. We see it at youth camps. We see it all the time. If you want to accept Jesus right now as your personal Lord and Savior, repeat this after me. I'm guilty of it. I do it. That's not an immediate response. That's not an immediate response to following Jesus. That's an immediate confession, to confess Him as your personal Lord and Savior. How many of y'all in here got saved? We all been born again, I hope. If you ain't, we need to get that right today. Amen? Amen? There's a difference between being born again and following Jesus. Because following Jesus comes with the understanding and the knowledge that only comes from this book. How do you get to know someone on your first date? You ask them questions. Have y'all ever read the book of Habakkuk? Brother Mike, I had to read it 3 times just to comprehend what happens. But there's so much knowledge and understanding in this. And you know what's really unique? He said, if any of you, in the book of James, if any of you lack wisdom, if you are asked without doubting, it will be given unto you. It will be given to you. All you got to do is ask. Do you know that we all always say this, human nature, amen? We always say it. Human nature will keep you so prideful that you say, I ain't asking for wisdom because they say that was dangerous. My mama always said, don't pray for this, don't pray for that. Mama said, don't pray for patience because the Lord will teach you patience. Mama said that you don't want to do... Mama said a whole lot of things, amen? My mama also said, don't never make pork chop stew in a regular pan, but I've done it. Guess what? Mama ain't always right. I didn't say that so loud so your kids could hear it and they'd be like, uh-huh, Brother Tom said. Then y'all be blaming me for troubles this week. Amen? But listen to me, seriously. It calls for an immediate response. Immediate action has to be taken. This morning I'm looking at you and I'm pleading with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm wore out. I was wore out 5 minutes in. But by the grace of God. Amen? Because if I leaned on my understanding, Mark will attest to this. When he first met me, we were standing at the back of my truck. We had probably known each other, a couple months, I think, somewhere in there. And my priority level was... I was frustrated. I was aggravated. Things wasn't going the way I wanted them to go. And we're standing at the back of my truck, and we was having a conversation. And we had a conversation, and it was the same question over and over and over. And it needed an immediate response. Who are you following? In layman's terms, I'm not going to go into that whole conversation, but in layman's terms, that was pretty much it. Are you going to follow everything else, or are you following Him? Because if you're not following Him, man, I love you, brother, but we can't do this. It floored me in such a way that I got in that truck that night. That poor truck was falling apart. Amen, Mark. That poor truck. I love that truck, though. But I got in that truck that night, and I was on my way home. Honey, I was on my way home. And I thought, you know what, Tom? What are you following? Because you're supposed to be a man of God. Amen? You're supposed to be a man that stands up for the Word of God, preaches the Word of God, not only preaches it, teaches it, but lives by it. And people can see it in action in your life. What are you following, dude? And I began to pull things out of the closet, man. How many of y'all got skeletons in the closet? You don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it for a minute. Things that are holding you back from being who God's called you to be. Things that are keeping you from being who God's called you to be. Things that are keeping you from being who God's called you to be. What are you following? I can't answer that for you because I don't know your heart. You do. You know your heart. I don't. But I know the Lord gave me a specific message this morning for some reason, and it wasn't just for me. Amen. Miss Gloria, this week as I read this, I thought, Lord, I know I'm following you. I know I hadn't always got it right, but I know who I'm following. And the Holy Spirit just simply said, yeah, but sometimes you need to leave your opinions out. I've got some good ones, though. No, you don't. Have you ever argued with the Lord? He always wins. I don't know if you know that or not, but I remember sitting in that recliner with my Bible in my lap, my pen, and I've got one that I preach out of, one that I study out of, then one that I read for me out of. I know it's weird. I've got a lot of Bibles. But I was sitting there and I was studying and I had my pen in one hand and I had my highlighter laying there and I'm looking at it and I'm reading this, and that just hit me because this was not the direction that I was going to go. Catch that I was going to go. And I seen that one statement. Then they immediately left their father and followed him. This morning, if you will, I want you to stand with me. Hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart. And maybe even today you're asking yourself, do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? You know, oftentimes in life we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard. It's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, you know what, I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level. If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and without Him, I would be nothing. Amen. My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.